Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. And parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Get your first month free at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Illinois can win on the road. Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. I'm Jeremy Warner. Derek Piper is in Lincoln. I'm at the home ranch here as Joey and Derek might get to hit up the Haymarket here after this game. It's sweet, a little college town, but more importantly, that's a sweet, pretty big win for Illinois basketball as they take care of business and get a much-needed road victory, their first true road win of the year, 76-50 over Nebraska. And Derek, I wrote in my quick hits here, like, it's not easy to get a road win at Illinois. Illinois has had that the last couple of years, some close wins at Nebraska. And, of course, Purdue went to overtime to get a victory. Iowa left with a 16-point loss. So this is – I wouldn't say, hey, this is just Nebraska. You won by 26. This is – especially for where this team has been the last month or so, I feel like this is a monster victory.
Yeah, really just to be able to roll the momentum over from a huge bounce back win against Wisconsin. We saw the offense be able to flow really well, sharing the ball, being able to get high assist totals, be able to knock down threes. And while the three ball was not falling early, and Illinois did get some open looks and just weren't able to capitalize enough early on, they started to get that going more as the game played out. Terrence downhill, I mean, this has been a really good defense at keeping guys out of the paint and making it tough to score at the rim. Terrence just couldn't be stopped. Wisconsin couldn't do anything with him. Nebraska obviously couldn't do that either. And it was just nice to see more and more of a collective effort. I mean, five guys in double figures just seemed like everybody that was out there on the floor at some point gave this team something. I know we'll talk all about Ty Rogers, who was the first thing that Brad Underwood said as he walked into the postgame press conference. So a team that just seems to be vibing a lot well, more together. You know, they're vibing really well together. There's a lot to feel good about right now. It still is only two wins in a row, but at the same time, this was a pivotal spot, because if you would have dropped to 1-4 in the league play and to be, you know, you're already kind of – Joe Lunardi had you, quote-unquote, on the bubble going into this game. If you would have dropped that game, that would have been really tough. But yeah, like you said with Nebraska, like, they blew out Iowa here, took Purdue to overtime. They went on the road and won at Creighton. So they've given some good teams a tough time, if not just flat-out beat them, and Illinois didn't allow that to be the case.
Yeah, as you said, an NCAA tournament team gets this win, but we would have thought that of Northwestern too. I think Northwestern's better than Nebraska, but still, to get this win, I don't poo-poo. I think this is a really big victory for Illinois. And more importantly, Derek, they're just playing well. Like, they are playing as a team right now, right? Like, this is the best they've looked by the eye test in back-to-back games since November. Really, since UCLA, Virginia, Syracuse, that run they were having. This team, what happened after Northwestern? Because Brad Underwood obviously was searching for something with all the things he was throwing out publicly, changing offense, changing defense, changing the starting lineup. We know one variable is Sky Clark left, and I'm not going to put it all on Sky was some malcontent on the team, but I think Jaden Epps clearly knows his role now. Ty Rogers is playing his role, and we'll get into Ty here. But something has changed the last couple days, or last couple weeks, where, as you wrote, the vibes are off. The vibes are much better right now, Derek, after back-to-back wins.
Yeah, they definitely are. I just think it was – a real sink or swim moment for Illinois. Coming off the Northwestern loss, you're 0-3 in the league. You're going back home to face Wisconsin in a game that you really needed. And you had lost three straight high major games by double digits. And while Brad was saying we're making some progress behind the scenes and practice offensively, it hadn't translated to the court. And some of those vets, like especially Meyer and Hawkins, were still taking some hero ball shots and breaking off plays, playing outside of the construct of the part of it's just reps. I mean, I think that they'll tell you that as far as the being able to figure out the spread and be able to, because that's such a, I mean, any offense is a rhythm game. It's a game of having guys being able to cut at the right times, hit the right passes, be able to shooters to be spotted up and just have that ball pop. But I think that now this team has been able to establish an identity at that end of the floor. They know they want to play inside out. I know Dane, because of the way that they doubled the post, that made it get going. But I thought they did a good job once again of getting into the teeth of the defense, being able to kick it out, and really just the way that also kick out and shot. It was a kick out, maybe a swing around the perimeter and find that open man. So this is a team that just seems to be on the same page. They're making shots. They're playing well. They're playing with energy. Obviously, defensively, with what they're doing for the most part, other than a lull there in the second half, they were really, really good. And it's a team that, yeah, I think backs against the wall. And while Sky, I think that was just kind of even more of a wake-up call of, like, this thing could go south if we don't fix things right now. And I know that they've talked about Terrence being big on leadership. Ty mentioned tonight that they've done more team bonding stuff. They've watched more games, whether it be NBA, college, together as a unit. And I just think it's a team that knew they had to figure it out. And with Brad repping this thing in practice, it's clear that he made a good pivot. Once again, I know it's going to have to play out as we go across the rest of this month and deep into Big Ten play, but the returns right now are really good.
Yeah, Derek, and you mentioned Terrence Shannon there. We'd heard all about his leadership, and of course we know the moment that Brad Underwood had about leadership after the Penn State game, right? But the last two games, I think we've seen the alpha emerge here. I think we've seen Terrence Shannon be like, this is my team. I'm the baddest player on the floor, and I can get wherever I want and score. And I feel like the rest of the team has really fed off that. Bruce Weber, who's doing a really good job on BTN as an analyst, was talking about it's a lot easier when your best player is the leader and is playing well and everyone else seems to feed off that. What are you seeing from Terrence Shannon the last couple games?
Yeah, like you said, it's just aggressiveness. It is being that guy that is going to set the tone for the offense. And again, Nebraska wants to be able to pack the paint. There's structured to be able to help on drives and everything. And while they had even sometimes traffic waiting for him at the rim or guys really anticipating his left-hand drive, like he just refused to be denied. He was going downhill. He was able to finish around the basket, hit a couple of threes here again tonight. And then he gets after it. It's even beyond just the scoring, the fact that, you know, he hauls in four offensive rebounds and pushes him to 11 total and gets a double-double. He has four assists. So he's just doing, a number of facets. It's beyond just the scoring. So, 20-plus in back-to-back games, first time since mid-November. You go back to the Monmouth game when he had 30. Obviously, UCLA game when he had 29, I believe, and hit those 8 threes. So we'll see if the three ball ultimately is able to come all the way back, as we saw earlier in the season. But it's just been downhill, Terrence Shannon. And he's standing next to him, and sometimes you forget it. When you go through the season and sometimes you sit at the podium, that dude is just huge. He is huge. 6'6" and that strong and how fast he is. I mean, he's a athletic marvel, and he's making a life heck for the Big Ten here recently.
He's an NBA player, and there's not many wings in the Big Ten, especially in Nebraska, right? Like that can match up with him. And I think he's realizing that, like, the scouting report, make him go right. Well, he went right a couple times tonight. And I just think that's so important. Like, people just can't physically match his size, athleticism, first step, all of that. And when he gets in transition, he should be licking his chops. And he's been starting to do that today. But Derek, this is unselfish basketball, right? I mean, Matthew Meyer, I'm going to shout him out again today, just moving the ball better. He had one or two shots where he was in isolation. I'm okay with that every once in a while. He didn't shoot all that well, but he's gotten to the free throw line here recently. Coleman, 12 points, 5 assists, 4 straight games in double figures for Coleman. which he had four straight in single digits. He's starting to emerge again. Jaden Epps really asserted himself late in this game. Was quiet early, and Tominaga got him on defense a little bit early. And RJ Melendez, man, his first double-digit scoring game since December 2nd, that kid just kept shooting. And it's been ugly sometimes, but he had some big shots tonight. So I just think it's great to see that offense share the ball, and it looks like it's contagious right now. Is that just a team gelling? Is that the spread? What do you think?
I think it's a combination of it. I think the spread puts them in some good actions. You think about that two-man game that it's creating, and that's something that when Coleman's involved in that, he can be someone that pops out and hit those pick-and-pop threes like we saw against Wisconsin. He can get Terrence going downhill. It can get you some cutters to the basket. I do think that they need to continue to try to get, you know, baseline cuts. I hated the shot that Matthew Meyer took with that contested hand in your face three, but I love the fact that Dane went and got the offensive rebound and Meyer cut right to the basket and got fouled there. So 13 offensive rebounds for a team that shot it pretty well on the night. So I think that being able to go to the glass has been something nice to see. And yeah, it's just Epps being able to get inside the arc and be able to hit his pull-up jumper or finish in the lane. Sync with each other, and by having a structured plan possession after possession instead of try to create something and have guys off the ball that maybe didn't know what to do, and we're probably just, you know, RJ was standing in the corner a lot and he wasn't the only one. Guys were just kind of standing and ball watching. So now you got to give Coleman credit for a guy that took a lot of due heat for his turnover issues. I think he's had two turnovers in each of the last two games, which is a big improvement. And the five assists, two turnovers tonight, that's more the ratio you want for him. That big momentum dunk early where he stares down the Nebraska bench and then hit a 3-2. So it's been good for Coleman. Hope that he continues to take care of the ball. And then, yeah, just the assist numbers show a team that's just being a lot more in sync and in rhythm.
Yeah, the assist numbers are going up. The turnovers are going down. I think that's back-to-back games of 11 turnovers, which, Derek, is a huge improvement for this team. And points off turnovers was big for this team. Fast break points were big. Second chance points were as well. I want to do one more thing before we get to the Ty Rogers segment of this, which I know the people are waiting for. Dane Dange had 4 points. I think that's back-to-back games, 4 points for him. He is as impactful as anybody right now. His defense is just elite at the rim. I think they only had him for 3 blocks. It felt like he had 10. Derek Walker, I know he got in foul trouble, and Nebraska got in a ton of foul trouble throughout this game, but Derek Walker was 2 of 7 from the field, 3 assists, 5 points. Dane Danger is elite as a paint protector, as a rim protector. Right now, like, I want to start the big all Big Ten defensive team discussion for him, because he is great on that end of the floor.
Yeah, Derek Walker coming off a career high, 22 points, had 22 points against Creighton, and has played really well here in the last month or so, really all season, is a guy that leads the team in scoring. Whenever he got the ball on the block, Dane's long arms, I mean, you're talking about a 7'6", 7'7" wingspan, and a lot, and I know a lot of people, just kind of the drop coverage and the feel for when to kind of tag the ball and get back on the roller and being able to get high hands out there and contest every shot. And he is making a huge difference for a team that came into tonight. They were 11th in the country in 2-point field goal defense. I think they're 13th in block shot rate. He obviously is impacting both of those. And I know that while Nebraska in the second half was getting it going to the rim a little bit, for the most part, it's a team that once again is not giving up a whole lot there in the paint. And when Dane's out there in that drop, he's a big factor and a big reason why that's happening.
Yeah, Derek, I'm showing on our live YouTube page the block percentage for Illinois. They're 13th in the country. Brad Underwood's Illinois teams have never been better than 257th. That's Dane Danger. I mean, Coleman Hawkins is part of that. Do you think Brad will ever play anything other than drop coverage again? Because that is what is working for him, whether it's Kofi, whether it's Dane. He needs to keep recruiting those kind of big men, methinks.
I think it's working pretty well right now. I know that it does need to be combined with guards that can get through screens. Because if you have a situation where guards are getting screens and you get a good pull-up shooter, might even see one in like Tyson Walker coming to town on Friday, that will test Illinois' drop coverage. But if a guy like Sincere and Jaden, who continue to – I mean, Sincere is all over whoever has the ball at all times and is doing a great job there. I think if Illinois' guards can fight through screens, you got Dane waiting and drop, that's a really good combo. And Dane right now is – now, Illinois was a good – two-point field goal defense with Kofi there, and really, you know, kind of when drivers would see him in, around the rim, well, he maybe didn't have as many blocks as some other big men out there, did a good job. But Dane's feel and drop coverage is better than Kofi's, at least from what we've seen so far, and that's good to see.
No, you're right. With the way he stunts at people, the way he just always has his arms up, he's moving, he's got a feel for that I think we shouldn't underrate. And he's such an important part of this team.
eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Let's talk about it, Derek. Ty Rogers, you had your freshman playing well, and Jaden Epps, your guy. Joey's had his guy, Sincere Harris. Offense not going so well, but defense, he's fantastic. Ty Rogers, my guy in this class. None of us picked Sky, by the way. So maybe that's working out well for us at least. But Ty Rogers, 4 points, 7 rebounds, really pestered Sam Grusel, especially late in that first half, early in the second half. Grusel was like the only thing going for them offensively for a long time. And that's, I think you make a good point. I think Jaden Epps struggled a little bit on the ball defensively against better teams. They can take advantage of that drop coverage a little bit. But Ty, starting to assert himself, Derek. He's got more of a role now, it seems, with Sky Clark out of this rotation. So what stood out most to you about Ty Rogers?
I think it's just the confidence and the aggression for a guy that has not had the first 2 months of his freshman season that he would have hoped for. And I don't know if it was the Northwestern game, one of those recent games, whether it was late December, early January, he only logged like 2 or 3 minutes in one of those ball games. So to be able to still be able to, when he gets on the floor, come out, make an impact, look like he's confident. I mean, being able to make some of those spin moves and attempts around the rim like he did against Wisconsin, look like a guy that expected the ball to go in. Now, some of them didn't early on, but I loved the aggression. I loved the moves that he made, and some of those will go down as he continues to progress. But like diving on the floor, that's exactly the type of Ty Rodgers that we expected to see this year. Someone that's going to make all those effort plays, is going to be so gritty and tenacious, and just have the motor running up to 100 at all times. So, and we talked to him. Joey's writing up the story right now that you can check on Atlanta Inquirer. And it's someone that senses something building. And it's not just him. Obviously, Brad Underwood has been talking about it recently. Like, he's going to keep coming on and be a big factor for this team. But I just think it is just kind of the continued junkyard dog type that we've seen out of Sincere Harris. And now Ty's getting more opportunity. And he's just kind of going to continue to earn him more chances to get on the floor.
Yeah, what do you think, Derek, can be his impact, can be his role as he gets more confidence moving forward? Because, like, you know, Luke Goody is going to come back here at some point. Sounds like within the next couple weeks, he's going to have a chance to start practice and then eventually get into games here. And, you know, Sincere Harris and Ty Rodgers do some similar things. So what do you expect out of Ty Rodgers moving forward here?
Yeah, I think that the rebounding, I mean, we heard a lot in the fall that he was leading this team in rebounds and a lot of practices. So second chance opportunities on the offensive glass, being able to help them defensive rebound, that's something that you definitely expect out of him. The defensive progression, because it is a guy that is not built like a freshman. He's physically strong. He's a good athlete. He's got long arms. To be able to help Illinois in that sense. And, you know, I know that they talked about going into the year that he could maybe even – take some possessions away from Shannon having to guard one of the better players. We'll see if he can actually own up to that matchup and defend some of the better players in the Big Ten. But just being able to, like you said, Gracia was someone at 6'7" that could back you down and was having a good stretch of late and was really key to Nebraska being able to win games. When he had good nights, Nebraska usually was able to be in those games and win. And for Ty to be able to step up in that sense. And then I think offensively, he's going to be able to make some of those finishes. I love him in the teeth of that defense. I think he's got good feel. I think he's strong, obviously, can draw contact. And I think that his passing is still the one thing that I saw a lot out of him as a high school prospect that maybe hasn't fully translated yet. I think he's got the ability to see the floor and deliver a variety of passes. I think just as he knows where certain guys are going to be and as the game continues to slow down, I think he'll be able to set other guys up in the middle of that defense.
Yeah, there's a reason he was a top 50 prospect, and I think Brad kind of expected after Team USA, right, that Ty could be as impactful as any of the freshmen just through his defense, his rebounding, his tenacity. And if you can start getting another good defender, both on the ball, another big body, it does make you more versatile as you go down the stretch here. I think offensively we know he's just a put-back guy. He's finish at the rim guy if he can. He's not going to give you a lot on that end, but he can provide you a lot of value, surely, Derek. So how do you feel just overall about this team right now, Derek? They started 0-3, but as we said, the vibes have to be much better about this team and just the eye test. They look like they're enjoying each other a lot more. They look like they're all kind of falling into the roles that they should be. Like, I think Matthew Meyer can make a lot of money for himself by playing team basketball and hitting corner threes, because he's ridiculously good at it, and getting the free throw line. He can do that. Dane Dange is becoming such an impactful piece of this team as a starter. Jaden Epps asserting himself. Coleman Hawkins kind of settling in, maybe, you know, better in the spread offense than he was in the kind of weave offense they were doing before. So just how good should Illinois fans feel about their team right now?
I think this should feel pretty good. And I still think the schedule sets up for you to continue a run. I know Michigan State challenged there and at the Kohl Center tonight ultimately fell short. It's a good Michigan State team. They're not world beaters by any means. You get them on their home floor, a chance to just quickly flip an 0-3 into a 3-3 in the league and really put yourself back into that middle of the pack in the Big Ten right off the bat. Was still after Friday, there'll be 16 more, or I should say 14 more Big Ten games left in league play, and you go on the road to Minnesota. So I think that this team, and like you said, I mean, the eye test is just that they have an identity offensively. They have a lot of talented offensive pieces that are now figuring each other out. You got freshmen that really the arrow's pointing up, I think, on all of them. I think that that's the great part with Epps continues to get more comfortable and confident, Sincere. I know offensively leaves a lot to be desired, but you know what he's going to bring with his defense, and Ty is starting to figure it out. So, and yeah, I fully agree with Matthew Meyer. I mean, even some of the blocks that he's making at the basket is someone that when he is fully engaged defensively and is making those right plays. So I wouldn't, you know, say this is a Big Ten favorite all over again. You're going to have to continue to do a little bit more than that, but the signs of another Brad Underwood turnaround after some early lumps, after embarrassing bragging rights. I know you did take that Northwestern loss, which was prolonged it and made us question some things about where it ultimately was going. But the recent signs are maybe Brad's figured it out. Maybe he's pushed a great button with the spread, which is, in all honesty, a ballsy call for somebody that didn't practice a lot during the summer. Within, you know, less than a month's time, it says a lot about what they've been able to do on the practice court. So they're going to have to push forward, continue to further this, be able to take care of home floor against some good teams coming up. And but right now, the vibes are good, and this is a good team.
Michigan State did win, by the way.
They only did win. Yeah,
winning that game. Hogard just completely took over down the stretch. They've won seven straight. So this is a big game, right? Like, the Big Ten is so muddled right now, but I do think we know what teams are capable of potentially winning 14 games needed to win the Big Ten. I think Purdue is kind of the leader in the clubhouse just because, you know, Edie and those freshman guards have been so good. But this is a big game. But as you said, the schedule still works out well for them when you have at Minnesota, two home games against tough opponents, Indiana and Ohio State, but Indiana's banged up right now. Road game at Wisconsin is never easy. Be home against Nebraska, home against Minnesota in early February, late January here. Like, there's a chance for the typical Brad Underwood turnaround. And I just want to illustrate this. Look at Brad Underwood in January to February through March, right? Like, this is where they always seem to make these runs. They did it last year. They did it, of course, in 21. They had a little hiccup in 20 with a four-game losing streak, and Io gets hurt. But then, you know, down the stretch, they win 5 of 6. Like, they find a way to do this. And Derek, I think this team is capable of it when they play like they have the last two games. You're going to lose some games in that stretch. But if this team plays like it has the last two games, the way they've been connected both offensively and defensively, I think this team is capable of being a no doubt NCAA tournament team and in the mix in the final couple of weeks in the Big Ten.
Right. I agree with that. By the way, I'll take a lap for the Michigan State mistake. Joey will make sure I get it in, and we'll get some evidence going. Yeah, maybe a push up. That'd be good. But yeah, I think that defensively, that's kind of been a parallel between the years for Brad Underwood, is having some pretty darn good defensive teams. Defense travels, the whole narrative there about being able to come together and get a lot of stops. It helps you be consistent when shots aren't falling. I think the fact of Terrence being able to get downhill, if Terrence is going to be, you know, we talked about going into the year, or in, especially after what we saw in Vegas, you know, that's the best guard in the Big Ten. I know Jalen Pickett's having a heck of a season, but Terrence, when he's at his best, is, I'll take him over probably anybody in this league. So him leading the way, the fact that the freshmen are coming along, that Matt's looked a lot better. I mean, night and day from what we saw early part of November and now what he's showing here recently with the scoring. More energy and a little bit more team basketball, like you said, Coleman. This team's got all the pieces to go on an extended run. Will it still get muddled in what's probably going to be a league that is just a little wacky and still wondering, you know, how many elite teams? And it's a very deep league. There are no gimmies. And for a team that still is, I wouldn't say that they're not going to have another dip down and still be maybe not the roller coaster that they looked like here of late, but. I think that, yeah, like you said, in the mix in the league, maybe not winning the league, maybe they're not consistent enough to do that. But in terms of the ceiling wise, building towards an opportunity to capture that ceiling in March is something they can do. So staying off the bubble will help the stress levels, the message boards, and obviously the vibe around the team, which, like we talked about, has gotten a lot better. But they've got a lot of ingredients of a team that can do some serious damage, and it's great to see that. Once again, after some encouraging signs earlier on.
Yeah, I don't even know if the expectation from the fan base, and understandably so anymore, is win the Big Ten, be a top three seed in the NCAA tournament. Like, I don't even think they care about that. Just get to the Sweet 16 and they'll be happy. So I think it's just about, you know, looking like a team that is capable of making that kind of run. I think the last couple of games they have, like, is Wisconsin a world beater? No, they didn't have Tyler Wall. Nebraska is obviously one of the worst teams in the Big Ten. But just the way they've played, I can see the way they played tonight, they'd beat Michigan State at home. The way they played tonight, they have a chance to beat Indiana and Ohio State at home. Let's get to a few comments, Derek, before we let you go. TB said, we have a lot of potential weapons, but it seems like our wins and losses depend mainly on TSJ's offensive output. I'll say this, Derek, like, they need him to score consistently. Like, Brad talked about 10 to 15 for Jaden Epps. I think that's pretty true, right? You need that out of a lead guard. They need 15 to 20 a night out of Terrence Shannon. That's what you need out of your best player. They got out of Kofi. They got out of Io. That's what Terrence Shannon has to be.
Yeah, I fully agree. I mean, you look at some of the best teams in the league in recent years, the ability to lean on Kofi for Illinois, what Io was getting out of Keegan Murray last year, and on down the list, Ohio State with EJ. When you have a stud that can just show up pretty much every night and be able to be a baseline of production and a go-to guy, we haven't seen also this team kind of have to play in closing time in a while. It's been a long time. It's been since Texas. They've been in those a neck-and-neck game where they have to execute down the stretch. And I'm very curious to see. I'm sure it probably will be coming up soon, whether it's the Michigan State game, Indiana, Ohio State, probably one of those that Illinois is going to have to find a way late. And a guy like Terrence is one that we saw it with Io. I'm not going to put him on that level, but even with Trent last year, you know, to be able to make some clutch shots, the difference in winning and losing. I think that his consistency is of utmost importance, but we've also tabbed, you know, Coleman as someone because of his ceiling and his passing as someone that's really keying the offense. There's no doubt the original point of just having a stud that can bring it every night, do it against anybody. That's definitely Terrence.
I think they need Terrence scoring to be consistent. I think Jaden is in there. Like, Meyer can do it when needed, right? That's good to have. Coleman can have those nights. I think when Coleman has those nights, but Coleman to me is like the guy I want with 10, 5, and 5. Like, that's what I want out of Coleman. Yes. Every night. It's not as many points. Like, Terrence has to score. Jay asked, was Brad pissed after he left the press conference? Did he not like the questions? He did give Joey some grief, as he likes to do. I know that.
Yeah, and he later told Joey, you know, he doesn't get many opportunities to bust his chops, so he took that chance.
Chops today, Joey. That's what he's doing. Do you not know?
I mean, we were the only ones that got questions in. Apologies if it looks like we tried to take it over, but we were the only
willing partners.
Yeah, the only ones wanting to put up shots. So we got our volume in there. I don't think he had a problem with the questions. He said something that he got three more than Fred said he would. I don't know if he was talking about questions or anything, but yeah, he took a little shot at Joey, and I'm here for it.
I think Illini Inquirer had about 40% of the media there, so representing there. If nobody else wants to ask questions, you guys just keep asking questions. Derek, I do want to get your thoughts on Kentucky. They lost to South Carolina?
Yes.
Tonight at home. Not going so well for Owen Chin there, man.
It's kind of brutal right now. I mean, it seems like that well is really soured with Calipari. Obviously, the early exit last year in St. Peter's, and they went to the portal, you know, to get Antonio Reeves, and they had C.J. Frederick the year before. Now get him get healthy, and it just seems like his model's all out of whack. And they've tried to add some transfers. They never seem to have enough shooting. Oscar's a really dominant player, but obviously not a jump shooter. And we saw with Kofi, being able to space shooters around a big guy like that is going to dominate the paint. If you can't do that, you're easier to crash in on. So it's interesting. I mean, there's buzz out there about, you know, Cal and Texas, or obviously a lot of people are talking nationally about who's the candidates for Kentucky if Cal were to leave. So it'd be interesting if Owen Chin, after leaving, you know, within what, 2 years, would be no longer there, Kentucky. It's just wild to think about.
Would that be if you're a Texas fan, like, you're not upset if you get John Calipari because you know you're going to be able to get talent, right? Not that talent's been Texas's problem. Can they do better? That's weird to say.
I don't know. That's a good question. I think that, you know, one name that a lot of people are really high on is Jerome Tang from Kansas State. Would it be too much of an overreaction to go off of one season of Tang to say, like, we could get him or Cal? And, you know, Cal recently, a guy that's been a
first year coach.
Yeah, won a national title, been to multiple Final Fours. I don't know. I mean, there's going to be a lot of names in that mix, but yeah, I think for Owen Chinn in particular, it is kind of an interesting dynamic.
Who is the next Kentucky coach? Would it be Sean Miller?
Maybe. I like Musselman. I think Musselman makes a lot of sense.
Oh, I'm on the must bus, man. I love watching his teams.
Someone that can really recruit. I mean, what he's doing to Arkansas right now and balance the getting the five stars in the portal.
You know, it would be what Illini fans would love because they'd hate it so much. Bruce Pearl to Kentucky. Let's do it.
Yeah.
I chose violence today.
You did. You did. You had to throw an Auburn mention, and people are already burned. Auburn.
After a feel good night, I just had to throw that walk on the fire there. Derek Piper, that's a really good win for Illinois basketball. They come home against Michigan State quickly. What do you think of that matchup? Because Michigan State obviously is playing really, really well. But, man, a Friday night at State Farm Center with Illinois fans feeling better about their team. Izzo's in town. That's going to be a fun atmosphere, man.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, and a chance to go up against one of the top teams in the league. Now Michigan State 4-1, and really good guard duo, Tyson Walker, A.J. Hogar, will be a tough challenge for Jaden Epps and Sear Harris in that game. Some vets in this league going up against, obviously, Illini's youth. And can Terrence continue to be the best player on the floor? I think he's got a great chance to do that against Michigan State. You know, Sparty, usually a very physical team. I'm curious by the matchup inside. Sissoko has not had the same type of early season outing since the Drew Timmy and Shibue matchups for whatever reason, whatever got into him there. I mean, he's an athlete.
Is Sissoko still the number one enemy of Illinois fans when it comes to Michigan State?
Yeah.
Have they simmered after a couple years after Io's injury?
Maybe a little bit. Maybe they're still a little sour. Maybe Even with Izzo, because he never got Io's name right either. He kept saying Ayo. You know, Ayo's a really good player. So I think it's a great matchup. Hauser, you know, you just got some proven guys on Michigan State. And Illinois feeling really good about itself. Like you said, the home crowd should be a huge advantage. And it's one of those marquee matchups you always look forward to in the league.
Looking forward to it. Can't wait. Derek Piper, thank you for joining us from Lincoln. Go enjoy Haymarket a little bit and then write whatever you got. What are you writing tonight?
I got two options. I got the Shannon that I want to dive into because obviously he's shown a huge response here lately. And I think that Brad gave some really good stuff about – and also Ty about making it about us. You know, they said that after the Northwestern game. They've been able to show that, obviously, literally with their offense, the way they're sharing the ball. But Ty gave some good color on how they've bonded even more off the floor. And I'll focus in on both those angles. So I'll probably hit one and then the other and also hit the road tomorrow for the 8-hour track back.
That's right. Not quite 20 hours. How did you guys do it without music or podcasts? Like, I understand. I can have fun with Joey. Yeah. How do you do it, Joey? I don't understand. Hi.
Oh, hey. Oh, this is still live.
He said, how do we do it without music or podcast?
Did you guys just have the greatest conversation ever?
Might have.
Yeah.
Might have.
Did you figure it all out?
Life?
I sure did.
All right. I'll let you guys go. Thank you, Derek.
Thank you.
Thanks for nothing, Joey.
You're welcome.
All right, that's going to wrap up the Illini Inquirer podcast. Everybody, thank you for listening. Give us a follow, rating, review wherever you get your podcast. Check out all the content coming from Lincoln tonight. I'll have player grades as well as we just zoom in on Joey Wagner. Find us on YouTube. You got anything for us, Joe?
I got nothing, Werner. Trying to get out of here. Bar closes in three hours.
Okay. Got to get out of here. Last call, closing time. Everybody have a great night. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.